Good to have as full a house as we do again. Always thankful each time we have that opportunity to get together. As has already been mentioned, we several of us had an opportunity yesterday to share with Tommy and Paige in what I would call the wedding of nice. Don't know that you could find a couple of people that are nicer than they are, and so it was obviously for me. It was a great honor and a privilege to be able to participate in that wedding. The Lord has blessed me since I've been here, allowing me to not only attend several weddings, but to be able to participate in several. Got some great, great young couples. And for me, it's a special blessing because I get to study with them ahead of time. And you get to see just how special they are, how dedicated they are to serving the Lord and serving each other in that relationship. I'm grateful to be a part of that. I don't know about you, I've been very anxious about the lesson this week as we have approached this. We are dealing with one of our killing giants and pulling thorns. I really haven't been greatly anxious. I finished the lesson a little while ago, but pulling the thorn of impatience. And I was mentioning the other day as I was talking to Greg, I said, you know, the series is killing giants and pulling thorns. And sometimes some of them are a little difficult to understand. Should they be in the category of the giant or should they be in the category of the thorn? And so this one is in the category of the thorn, at least as far as today's lesson, pulling the thorn of impatience. And partially because as we think about the idea of impatience, and we'll look at a definition of that in a moment, or a definition of patience. There's a couple of different words that are used in the Greek, in our New Testament text, that are sometimes translated with the same word patience, but aren't always the same word, and we'll mention that in a moment. I came across a quote that I loved when I saw this, because I thought, what a great description. It says, patience is something you admire in the driver behind you, but not the one ahead. Not sure who even said that, but I thought that is so, so true. I did come across another one I thought that was interesting. Margaret Thatcher said, I'm extraordinarily patient, provided I get my own way in the end. And so that's the way we are sometimes. We struggle with the idea of patience, and yet God talks quite a bit about that. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 says, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. So just think about that statement for a moment, you know, because there are other things. As we've looked at 1 John, he made a statement in that particular epistle where he said that he was changing the standard of what love was when Jesus said that we need to love our neighbor not as ourself, but love our neighbor as Jesus, in fact, loved us. That's tough. Or praying a prayer, forgive us our debts as we forgive those who are indebted to us. Very tough when you look at that kind of standard as to what we are being called to. And in this particular case, he's saying having the patience of Christ. Can you imagine anybody ever that displayed more patience than Jesus Christ? And the way that he was treated in this life, the things that he went through, and yet how many times do we see things from him? When he was reviled against, he reviled not in return. He just didn't act the way that we act, and we understand that. And when we're called to that standard, when we have that idea of the patience of Christ and having that in us, that's tough. And it's tough because we're told in other places, he told the Thessalonians again, said, now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak. Well, just need a period right there, don't you? Because those are challenging enough sometimes. But then he has to go on and say, and be patient with all. Be patient with all. Not an easy thing to do. So as we identify the thorn, the definition of patience, if you look in several dictionaries, you're going to find about the same thing, but the capacity, habit, or fact of bearing pains or trials calmly and without complaint. The capacity for calm, self-possessed waiting. So we've got that down. We may as well just dismiss and head home for the day, right? I don't know about you. There are times where I think, you know what? I've done pretty well with patience. Ken was talking about in class this morning, you know, sometimes you think, man, this soil is really good. This is really fertile. Fruit is growing. Things are happening. And then there's other times you think, well, how did those thorns get in here? Why is that bothering me so badly? Why am I so concerned with the world? And you're constantly weeding that garden. That's the nature of pulling thorns. It isn't like, you know what, today I'm going to pull the thorn of impatience and I'm done with that one. I won't have to worry about that anymore. We know we fight that battle because it is that ability to be calm. It's described in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 as being one of the fruits of the Spirit. Saying when you have a life that is Spirit-driven, when God is the one who is in control of your life, he says it produces certain things. How well does this tie with the very things that we were talking about in our class this morning and that parable of the sower? Because he's saying, how do you know if you have a Spirit-driven life? How do you know if God is really the one who's in control of your life? Well, he says there's several things you can look at. You can look at love and joy and peace and patience. If I'm a greatly impatient person, if I am constantly displaying impatience, shouldn't that tell me that God's not controlling my life as much as I think he is, or as much as I would like him to? That sometimes Mark steps into that driver's seat a little too frequently, and so I react in ways that God would not have me to react. Two things that are involved in patience. One is being in an unpleasant but common situation. In other words, when you're sitting down at a wonderful meal and somebody's serving you hand and foot and just taking care, it's like, how much patience does that require? You have to have an unpleasant situation first. Something has to, but it really needs to be something that's not only unpleasant, but the idea of patience is something that's unpleasant and yet common. When I mentioned there's a couple of different words, in James chapter 5, and you may want to go ahead and turn there, we're going to read a passage out of there in a moment, but I'll refer to a different one first. But in James chapter 5, there's a discussion about patience, and one of the things that is mentioned as well is the idea of endurance, separate word. And depending on which version you've got, some of them will say patient. But in verse 11, when it's talking about Job, it says, consider the endurance. Some versions say, consider the patience of Job. That's not really the word patient. It is the word endure is the better word there. And so the translations that use endure to translate that Greek word are using a more accurate word, because that is the ability to bear up long-term under something that is very tough. Well, Job's situation was anything but common. Wouldn't you agree with that? That was not a common situation. But he bore up under that, and that was not anything that was lasting a few moments. That was lasting some time in the life of Job. When we went back and looked at that and how long it would take for certain of those things even to happen, and all the discussions that he had with his friends, and the uncommon situation, that wasn't patience. That was endurance. He had the ability to bear up for a long time under very stressful situations. So, where is patience then? Where do we see impatience? How is that word used when he's talking about be patient with all? Now, he's not saying that we don't need to also be long-suffering or endure with each other. We have some of that as well, but he's saying be patient with all. Because you're going to find that certain things just get under our skin. And a couple of things that are a couple areas where we need to exercise patience. One is with circumstances. Just think about that. You're in a hurry. The alarm didn't go off that morning. And so now you're already rushed. You didn't get any breakfast because you're late getting out to your car. You get out to start your car and battery's dead. And you're trying to crank it, but it won't crank. Fortunately for you, at least you've got one of those charging units there, and so you can charge the unit, you can jump the battery, and you get the car started, and you take off, and every single light you catch red. You ever been there? We've lived here 4 years, oh, a little over 4 years. I have to date, I'm confident this is an accurate count, to date, I have hit the light at Borgfeld and 281 green 4 times. So in 4 years. I'm confident that's accurate. Is that frustrating? It's like, and how much more frustrating is it because you look to the side street at Borgfeld and you're thinking, Nobody's on it. Why did I have to stop? And we wrestle with that. And so you think, you know what? I'm gonna take a shortcut. And so a shortcut that only you know about. And so you're driving that, and it's all clear, and you're making progress. You think, I'm going to actually make it on time, and then clang, 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 and down drops the arm, and there's a train. You ever been there? Just when you thought you were going to make it. And you finally make it past the train, and then that car in front of you is doing 45 in a no-passing zone where the speed limit is 60, and you think he's lost his mind. I mean, do we not wrestle with that? Or do you just sit there and think, this is just the picture of calmness for me. I just sit back. No, it requires patience. We understand we lose our patience. We're not talking about necessarily that you're going to have to blow up in anger and that you're going to have road rage or anything of that sort, but we lose our calm. We lose our patience. We've talked about it before. How about you go into the store? And you recognize once you're already in line and you've picked your line, and then you recognize, oh, we got a new cashier. She's challenged. She doesn't know exactly what to do with all of this. And you're in the line that you thought would move the fastest, and then the person in front of you gets up there, and you find out, I've got the exact change lady. And she's going to spend 5 minutes searching for those 3 pennies in her purse so that she can pay exact change so she doesn't have to get that extra money back in her pocket. Frustrated or not? You know, we wrestle with that. And what we find is that patience is important for this reason, that it demonstrates to other people the glory of God. You realize you could quote to the cashier the books of the Bible forwards and backwards, Old Testament and New Testament. You could tell her how many chapters and verses were in every single book, and I'm telling you, she'll be less impressed with that than your ability to be absolutely calm and delightful when things are not going right in the line. We can demonstrate the glory of God by our patience. Need info? Let me jump on the Google real quick and see what I get. And the Wi-Fi is slow. Spins. You realize they did a survey just recently. 18 to 24, 25-year-olds, something of that sort. That they were interviewing them about different aspects of the internet. And over 75% of them said they will click back off of a video that they're trying to watch if it takes longer than 10 seconds to upload. 10 seconds, I'm done. I cannot wait 12 for that video to come up. That's the society. That's the culture we are in. And God, I think, would have us to understand that it has an impact on people around us. We need to exercise patience with people, don't we? Ken talked about you ever had in your children in your home, and you think there is still demon possession today? We've wrestled with that. My children, as they were growing up on occasion, arrived at a location that I don't even know where it is, but I know they were teetering right on the precipice of my last nerve. They ever been there? You're getting on my last nerve. You repeat the same instructions over again. It just requires patience. We understand that. Maybe you're dealing with people in other situations. They're not children, but people say unkind words, or they're rude interruptions to you, or people that are negative around you. You struggle sometimes with just really being calm and patient. People don't understand. Did you ever explain something to somebody and they didn't get it the first time? And so you explain it again. They didn't get it the second time. You explain it again. Is it easy to remain calm? Do you ever think about Jesus when he was walking with his disciples? How many times he probably just should have looked and said, seriously? Again? Have we not been through this over and over? He did on occasion say, didn't you listen? Haven't you heard? Didn't you pay attention? He understood. There is frustration when we deal with people. That's just the nature of it. Or people just not performing as they're supposed to. Whether it's your children or somebody else, they're not doing as expected. Or somebody that is constantly late, and so it puts delays in your schedule. We understand. People and circumstances, very common. But we often struggle with the idea of patience. So the key is, how do we pull that thorn? How do we develop that patience? Because I wish I could just will myself to it. You know what? Starting tomorrow, I don't want to go overboard and start today. But so, and I'll start tomorrow because one of our other thorns we have to pull later is procrastination. Starting tomorrow, I'm just going to be patient. That's the new me. Don't you wish you could just will it that way? I'm just going to be a more patient person starting tomorrow. Done. Let's move on to whatever my next project is. You can't just will it that way. I think there are things that God would have us to understand need to be a part of our lives if we are going to be able to accomplish that patience. One, I'm going to have to spend much time with God. I'm going to have to speak to him frequently. He tells me things in regards to the idea of prayer. Again, writing to the brethren in Thessalonica, he said, pray without ceasing. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Pray without ceasing. I don't know that there is any other area of my life that I have more opportunity to fail than in demonstrating patience. Don't have to take them all, but I'm saying, you think about how many things in a normal day, in normal situations, can test your patience. As you're trying to work with, maybe you've got unconverted spouse or family members. Maybe you're dealing with a boss that is unreasonable. Maybe you are dealing with children that are misbehaving. Whatever else it is, I mean, think of all the opportunities that you have for patience to fail every day. When I could demonstrate the calmness, does it ever just amaze you when you look at the life of Jesus? Think, how was this man as calm as he walked through this life, when very seldom would you say that things were going well for him? In Romans chapter 4, I told you to look at James 5, we'll be there next, but look at Romans 4 if you want to, in chapter 4, starting in verse 19. You ever think about what it would have been like to have been Abraham and Sarah? You know, because God had made some interesting statements to Abraham and Sarah in regards to they're going to have a son. And the entire nation is going to be built on that lineage. And not only the entire nation, but through this son of promise, the entire world was going to have an opportunity to come to Jesus Christ. That the Savior was going to come about because of the promises that were made to Abraham. And so that's the promise. And then year goes by and you don't have a child. And year goes by and you don't have a child. And another year goes by and another year goes by and another year goes by and you're not having a child. What do you start to think? What happens to your faith in all of that? In Romans chapter 4 is just a wonderful description of what patience can do for us in those kinds of situations. Look with me, if you would, starting in verse, let's back up to verse 16. For this reason, it is by faith that it might be accordance with grace, in order that the promise may be certain to all the descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, the father of many nations I have made you, in the sight of him who he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope he believed, in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so your descendants shall be. So the promise had been made. And hope against hope, he's hanging on. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. How much time do you think Abraham spent with God during that time? How many prayers were offered by Abraham to God? How many things did he say? He understood. He said, this body is as good as dead as far as producing children. As is my wife's body as good as dead as far as producing children. And yet he did not waver. He did not waver. He was patient through all of that, all of those years, waiting and waiting and waiting until finally she was had conceived and was going to bring forth a son. It produces faith, stronger faith, patience does. It helps me to grow. When I can be patient, it helps me to grow. Secondly, stay focused on the goal. Now turn to James 5, if you would. How important is it, if I'm going to develop patience, I need to remember what really matters the most? What really matters the most? What is this life really about? If I'm going to be patient with the guy in front of me, because if getting to the next destination fastest is the most important thing, then I probably have good reason to be impatient. But it's really not the most important thing, is it? He says that's not, life isn't really about that. It doesn't mean that it's not bothering us. But in James chapter 5, he says, here's why you be patient, and here's what's important. Verse 7 says, be patient, therefore, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. Behold, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and the late rains. You too be patient. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. He said, you want to know what really matters? It is eternity. He says, you need to be patient here, not only patient waiting for him to come, but patient in that waiting for him to come. How am I waiting? Am I the kind of person, do I understand what really matters? Should people bother me as badly as they do if I understand what really matters? He says, stay focused on the goal. It is bringing glory to God so I can spend an eternity with him. How important is it that I live that way? God is trying to bring me to perfection. And sometimes I fight that. I fight that. I don't want him to put tests and trials in my way. I don't want things to go in a way that's unpleasant. Sometimes we fight against God when he's trying to bring us to perfection. Thirdly, think first. Think first. God offers that advice in more than one place. He says things like, you know what? We need to be quick to hear, slow to speak. Your impatience ever gotten you in trouble because you said something you shouldn't have said? Maybe you said it too quickly. Maybe you acted too quickly. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. He says, you know what? Give thought to whatever it is that you are going to say or whatever you're going to do. We're in a culture that absolutely wears us out mentally and physically. I understand that. It wears us out. We're a tense, an anxious group of people. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, what am I interested most in? I need to think first. What's going to bring God glory in this situation? Proverbs 15 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. It says, think. Just take a moment. Take a breath. When I was looking, I was doing some work on this, research on patience. It was interesting that I looked at, I don't know, 8 or 10 different sites from different psychological sites, psychology sites that talked about how to deal with impatience. And I looked, I think it was either 6 of those sites, 5 or 6 of those sites. All but one of them had in their top 3 things to do to deal with patience. Said, take a breath. I just thought that was interesting. You've got, you know, somebody's paying somebody for that information. That's the amazing part. But it's just, you know what, just take a breath. Wait a second. Take a deep breath. And for a Christian, it is take a breath and think about what do I need to say or do that would bring glory to God. Serve others more. Sometimes selfishness is the issue and impatience. Ecclesiastes 7:8 says, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. The patient spirit is better than the, what spirit would you think it would compare? You know, it seems like you'd say the patient spirit is better than the impatient spirit. Or the patient spirit is better than that anxious spirit. Or that worry, it doesn't say that. It says the patient spirit is better than the proud spirit. You know why? Because I think he's saying pride is what causes a lot of that impatience. Selfishness. I'm thinking about me. I'm not thinking about the other person. Spend more time thinking about how you can do for them, what you can pray for them, how you can help them in their life, whatever it is. Are some people easier to be patient with than others? Absolutely. We understand that. Some are easier to be patient with, and yet Paul said in 1 Thessalonians, as we read right in the beginning, be patient with all men. And then finally, look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to be patient. Do we think about those kind of, in other words, you're a mother with young children, when you wake up in the morning, you've got an opportunity right there handy. May last all day. But think about that before you go into it when you're praying. Lord, I'm about to deal with these three that were on my last nerve yesterday. Help me to deal with them patiently. That's an opportunity. But when you get ready to get into your car, I need that one on occasion, I can tell you. Get in the car, say a prayer before you ever back out of the garage. Lord, help me be patient. I wrestle with that, Lord, on this particular event in my life. And so I'm looking for opportunities so that then I can think, let me demonstrate some real calmness today. You know what? I'm going to wave more people in who shoot down the left lane even though it's about to end. You ever done that? You get down, it's like, they're not getting in front of me. They could have gotten behind just like everybody else did. When they're stuck down there at the end, I'm just going to smile as I go by and say, you shouldn't have gotten there, should you? So maybe today I'm just going to, you know what, I'm going to stop when I get to the end and wave three cars in. That person behind me may not be real patient, but I'm trying to exemplify some patience. Look for opportunities, whatever it may be. Before you walk into that business meeting, look for an opportunity. I want to be patient. I know this is a stressful situation. Before you walk into school, whether you're the teacher or the student, before you walk into school, it may require some patience and developing that. So we need to put forth that kind of effort. I like this description that I saw. I don't even know who wrote it, but he says, patience is an even temper that comes from a big heart. It is not the grit your teeth kind of angry endurance. I like that. It's like, we're not talking about, I was patient. I almost ground out two of my teeth, have to go to the dentist because of what that car did, but I made it through that very patiently. That's not patience. Patience is demonstrating calm, like Jesus demonstrated calm. It's loving tolerance in spite of people's weaknesses and their failures. So let me leave you with just a couple of things as far as this morning, because it's not easy. I like what Victor Hugo said. He said, have courage for the great sorrows of life and patience for the small ones. And when you've laboriously accomplished your daily task, go to sleep in peace. God's awake. I like, you know what? He's in control. He's in control. I need to just have the calmness to turn things over to him. How can I glorify him in all of that? And then this is the way it reads in Hebrews chapter 12. Sometimes it's a matter of perspective, isn't it? If I'm to have the patience of Jesus, and then I read in Hebrews, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. He says, you know, just think about what Jesus went through and how he reacted. If you have any doubt that it can be done, we don't always accomplish it, but it has been proven that it can be done. And he says, that's the way we need to act. So you've got that thorn, impatience, or whatever that thorn is. You know, you have two choices. You ever just have one of those that just aggravates the life out of you? And sometimes you forget about it because it just doesn't hurt. But then what do? You reach in your pocket and you got a thorn, and it's like, oh, there it is again. I managed to hit that thing. A couple of things you can do with the thorns in life. You can either protect them. You know what? I can do everything I can to keep from bumping that thorn. I can do everything I can to keep from reaching in my pocket or doing anything to endanger. Or I can just pull it out. And that's what he's saying. And sometimes you have to dig a little. Sometimes it's painful. They don't just all slide out easily. Sometimes you got to get the needle out or whatever else. And you're doing a little digging, but you've got to eventually get it out. And there's some pain associated with that. But you feel much better for knowing that you've done it. And that's certainly the case with any of the spiritual thorns, like impatience, that we would seek to pull out. What are we doing? Because all problems of life really fall into that category. You can either just kind of ignore them and hope that they don't continue, or you can take care of them. If you're not a Christian, you can choose to go through your whole life and ignore that. Won't work well for you. God tells us that. Consequences of that are severe. Or you can take care of it. Or if you've got problems that you haven't been dealing with in general, anything, whether it's impatience or something else, you can either just kind of try to protect that and cushion around it, or you can deal with them. If we can help you deal with any of those today, let us know that while we stand, while we sing.